الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The title of this khutbah is Congratulations, my daughter is a bride. And it's an interesting discussion actually, which focuses primarily on the female gender, even though the men have their own segment, which I believe he will dedicate perhaps in the next lecture or next khutbah or sometime in the near future. Wallahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal, he began the khutbah by stating that the youth nowadays are complaining to you and about you. They're complaining to you and they're complaining about you. They're complaining to you the condition they're having with your daughters, and they're complaining about you because you have not done the job in terms of raising them properly. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ, except those whom Allah has chosen for a specific mercy. So what is going on today in terms of marriages in recent contemporary times? Many of the fathers are searching for righteous husbands for their daughters, whom will look after them, protect them, and grant them a happy life. However, this happy life can never be established or acquired until our daughters are prepared, they're educated, they're taught properly to be able to do their job in this marital life. He said, let us be somewhat frank and blunt. And each one observe his daughter, who could be at the later stages of intermediate school, or in the early secondary school, or perhaps in college or university, around that age. And ask yourself these questions and see if you have answers for them. Well, he will ask the questions, you look for the answers. Question number one, is it your daughter that does the bed? Does she make her own bed when she gets up from sleep, or is that the job of the maid? Question number two, when your daughter wants a glass of water or some coffee or some tea, does she make it herself or does the maid do it? And in other worse conditions, the mother. The mother does it for the daughter, excuse me. A third question is, does your daughter actually know how to cook? Does she know how to deal with the kitchen and take care of the things in there? Another question, does she know how to wash, do laundry, iron the clothes and fold them properly and organize them? Does your daughter, or is she the kind who believes that sitting at home is something good, or is she always complaining and trying to run out of the house? Always bored, bored, bored. Is your daughter one who has an actual correct understanding of what marital life is about, specifically pertaining to the husband being obeyed, respecting him, and what is he in regards to her? What position does he play in her life? Is your daughter patient, or is she one who gets upset quickly? And then she is very sharp in her speech and in her manners, in her behavior. Is your daughter one who criticizes a lot and complains a lot? Is your daughter one who has the idea of how to build a healthy, constructive household? Many questions and that require many answers, and the parents are primarily responsible for providing the answers for these particular questions. He's saying most of the problems we have today and all of the divorce rate, which is very high, is because these questions perhaps were never asked, or the answers were never provided, or no training ever took place in this regard. All believers, we should raise our daughters with the understanding that wedding is not merely a wedding dress or gown, gown. It is not simply some clothes that you wear. It is not the food which you bring. It is not the coffee shop. It is not the whole wedding ceremony. Because for many girls, this is all that the whole thing is. All of their effort and energy is concentrated into the actual wedding. They don't think about what's going to happen afterwards. Who cares? I'll figure it out then. What is important now is that we have the nicest food and we have the fanciest wedding, so everybody in the community can say, wow, you know, did you see that? And so then the daughter will say, mom, did you see our, you know, neighbor, what she did? No, we need to do better than that. Otherwise, what are the people going to say? What are they going to say? Our honor is being put to shame because we don't compete with them in this junk. Let's call it junk. The money which we spend for these ridiculous weddings, if we were to collect it and give it to the poor Muslims, we wouldn't have poor Muslims. No, but you know, there has to be special food and special arrangement. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got his daughters married and he himself got married with a dowry that doesn't exceed around 100 riyals. Okay? Just FYI, for your information. Not only his marriage, his daughters. In fact, Ali gave an armor, a shield used in the at warfare. That was his mahr for Fatima radiallahu anha. Now we're saying, okay, we're living at different times, no problem. 100 riyals, no one is going to have it. Huh? They will smack you before you even make it to the house. At the door, they will kick you out if you said, I want to marry your daughter for 100 riyals. Because people live in a different time zone. Fair enough. But what, 30,000, 40,000? That's now purchase. That's like buying a car. Yes, investment. And this is extreme. Besides the other additions which the people add, you have to get a gift for the father and a gift for the mother and gold. All these conditions in order for this daughter to go away. This is when their people are still following, yani at least it's still the man paying for the dowry. Don't ask about, in some cultures, and you know what I'm talking about, when it's the other way around. No, the man is the one being purchased because he's a doctor, he's the engineer. So now what are the family, the female, going to present? They have to buy him. Which is totally, totally, totally not from Islam. And it is haram that a woman pays a dowry for a man. No, but they change the names a little bit. Say, no, this is not, it's a gift, it's a present. And they twist facts around. At the end of the day, a woman is paying the dowry for the man. Well, did we get this from Islam? No, I heard it's from Hinduism. Not from Islam. Wallah al-musta'an. Anyway, so that money, where is it going? So she has to be trained that there's a lot more to marriage. There's sacrifice. There's patience. There's perseverance. And there's preparation. Spiritual preparation. Physical preparation, mental preparation, all of these things have to be taken care of before the lady moves into the household with her husband. So she can know how to deal with the situation when problems start to arise, which they will. He said, it is incumbent on us to educate our daughters regarding these, you know, these ideas and these facts, and let them know that there has to be a lot of sacrifice. And this is primarily the role of the mother. The mother who's already suffering with the husband should be telling her daughter what to expect when she gets married. She knows what it entails. The ins and outs. The ups and downs of marriage. So the mother would probably be more successful in conveying this to the daughter than the actual father. Very often. So what is the mother doing? Of course, some mothers, may Allah rectify their condition, they play the opposite role. Huh? Be careful. Don't let him feel that you listen to him. Huh? If he feels that you listen to him, he will take advantage of you. Show him your authority in the house. Yes, Sheikh. Where did you get that from? Is this from the Sunnah? No, it is not. We will see what the Sunnah says. It says the opposite of that. But some mothers, may Allah guide them, they themselves don't understand and they teach their misunderstanding to their daughters. So now the whole family, lineage suffers accordingly. The Sheikh said, I will enumerate to you some of the basic rights that the girl who is soon to be married or is already married in the early stages should know in regards to the right of her husband. The first and most important right, without a doubt, is obedience. The right, the husband has the right to be obeyed, not disobeyed. Yes, Allah Azza wa Jal has given the man that authority. He gave him that kind of degree, that responsibility over women, that she should obey him. That she should obey him. Because if she did, the husband will be able to lead this household, just like a manager, with ease, and it's a smooth operation. Give you an example you can relate to any business in the world. If there's a manager who every time he says something to the employees, they say, ah, forget it. We're not going to listen to you. Would the management, would the business ever move forward? Would they ever prosper? No way. Because the manager's word is ignored. I mean, he says something and they do the opposite, it will not be successful. However, if the manager was obeyed, and he's good, of course, this is another condition, the husband should be a fair man, and he's good, ultimately this business will prosper. So the wife obeying the husband paves the way for a healthy relationship, for the man to lead and play the role of leadership in the house. Otherwise, it would become a place of oppression and hatred. And the husband should not become, or should not take advantage of that by playing the role of the dictator. So he says, okay, I am the one who has authority, so, you know, fly. I can't fly. You have to obey me. I said, fly. Some men are lunatics, by the way. They can't believe that Allah gave him some authority. I mean, in school, everybody was telling him what to do. As soon as he gets married, he wants to take revenge and make up for all the years he was being told what to do. So he finds his wife to be the very next victim. Now he wants to take back everything and put it on her. So he tells her to do things which are impossible for her to do. And therefore, it is not correct on his part now, because he's being a dictator. So he has to be also considerate and act according to the sunnah in this regard. The Sheikh said the right of this leadership is one then of education and direction, not one of oppression and humiliation. And the wife should obey her husband in regards to everything which is important to him or important to her, whether it is pertaining to religion or pertaining to the worldly matters. In both cases, she has to obey him. For example, she has to obey him in the matter of raising the children, sitting at home, arranging the affairs of the household. Anything which he commands her, she should do. Unless he tells her to disobey Allah, Ya Mus'ab. Unless he commands her to disobey Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which case she does not obey him. Like if he tells her, drink some alcohol, or put on some makeup, or sit with these corrupt people, or my relatives. Many men do this. Oh, this is just my brother. No problem, you can come in without a hijab. This brother of yours, the Prophet ﷺ said regarding him, maut, al-hamu maut. The brother-in-law is like death in regards to him being given access to the woman, because there's a nature of comfortability. You know, we're relatives and everything. So the shaitan says, no, there's no barriers between you. And because of that, they become more comfortable with each other. And you've heard the stories where the brother-in-law wind up sleeping with the wife of that his brother. Oh, it was a mistake, you know, moment of weakness. We really didn't think it was going to get that far. Yeah, because you didn't listen to the sunnah in the beginning. The sunnah said you don't mix with them, end of story. He just remains outside. He has something to say. There's a phone call and he can call you. You can convey. You can act as an operator between your wife and your brother-in-law in case there's need for communication. But this cultural behavior which we have in our countries, where everybody meets with everybody because we're all relatives, is not from Islam. And it opens the door for adultery and calamities which befall the marital lives. And you know that from possibly what you've heard in examples that followed or that preceded us. So she doesn't listen to him in this regard. Because there's no obedience to the creation if it entails or disobeying the Creator. And obedience is only in that which is good. The Prophet ﷺ said, to summarize all of this, a very beautiful hadith. if the woman were to pray her 5 daily prayers, and she were to fast her month, as in Ramadan, and she were to protect her private parts, and she were to obey her husband, it will be said to her on the day of judgment, enter the day of resurrection, enter Jannah from whichever one of the 8 doors that you like. Whoa! As far as I know, this is the privilege of Abu Bakr. This is the privilege of Abu Bakr, that he can enter Jannah from whichever door. Not everybody else gets that privilege, except that if a woman were to do these very basic things, she would be given that privilege. Enter Jannah from whichever door you want. You see how important that is? And one of these conditions, وَطَاعَتْ بَعْلَهَا. She obeyed her husband. The Shaykh said, what is very saddening is that many of these wives may establish the salah and may fast, however, and do other acts of righteousness. However, when it comes to the matter of obedience, then she becomes an enemy of her husband. And some of them have become, yani, artistic. They've gone to extremes in how they wish to disobey their husbands. It became an art for some of them, going against the command of the husband, whatever it is. And if she makes a mistake, she does not even bother to apologize. So the righteous woman is one who's always looking after her husband's state of mind and condition, and she tries to be the one who sacrifices in order to make sure that they are harmonious with each other. He said, there's no doubt that the woman obeying her husband is means of protecting the household and avoiding division. And so that the husband does not become, you know, repelled by his wife. So the believing wife should do so. And she should not be fooled by these women who are often calling others to, don't listen to him, don't pay attention to him, ignore him and do whatever makes you happy. And such statements which we have become prevalent now in the societies. And all this will basically expose them to the anger of Allah. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, if I were to command anyone to prostrate to anyone, I would have commanded the woman to prostrate to her husband. You see that? Then he said, by him in whose hand is my soul, no woman will truly fulfill the right of Allah until she fulfills the right of the husband. She cannot possibly fulfill the right of Allah until she fulfills the right of her husband. And he said in another hadith, alayhi salatu wasalam, 2 kinds of people, their salah will not exceed their heads. Because the salah, as comes in another hadith, it will be raised to the heavens. If it is accepted, it's accepted. If not, it will be wrapped and then thrown back at the person who prayed. 2 kinds of people, it will not even go above their head. The salah is down there, it doesn't even make it, it's not accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. A slave who runs away from his master until he returns, and a woman who disobeys her husband until she returns. Yani, as long as she's in a state of disobedience, according to the hadith, her salah is invalid. Not that she is exempt from salah. She still has to pray, but her salah is invalid. Just like the one who drinks alcohol, or the one who goes to a fortune teller. He still has to carry out the act of worship, even though he has been told that it's not going to be accepted. If he were to leave it, it would become a whole nother sin. In another hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Shaykh mentioned a hadith, I've never come across it before. Which people have the greatest right upon the wife or upon the woman? He said her husband. He said, what about the man? He said his mother. So this is what the Prophet taught us in terms of the rights of the husband. The second thing the woman should look after or be concerned about regarding her husband is maintaining yani his feelings, looking after his feelings, not hurting his feelings. So he doesn't see at home except that which he likes, and he does not hear except that which is pleasing to him, and he does not see from her except that which is satisfying. She doesn't bring any other men into the house, because the husband, the real believer, finds tranquility at home. Okay? Unless one doesn't have a job. But those who have a job, they suffer at work. And unless you have the coolest work in the world. Okay? If you don't have the coolest job in the world, you're suffering at work. You're dealing with people, you're dealing with customers, you're dealing with managers, you're dealing with everybody somewhat telling you what to do. And the last thing you want when you go home is a continuation of what started at work. Even worse, what is worse than that, which is the household being even worse than the actual workplace. So, you know, the real husband wants to go home and find a peace of mind. He wants to find tranquility. But very often he finds that the wife has prepared for him already a set of problems greater than the ones he left behind. Which reminds me of a joke. It says that a man and a woman, you know, every day she would nag, you know, nagging, complaining. And man just lost his mind. He said, listen, lady, we're going to have to do this another way. Okay, one day you nag and the other day you take a day off. Okay? One for you, one for me. One day don't let me hear anything and the next day you can nag. She said, okay, deal. He was happy. He thought, okay, we got something. So the first day came, she started nagging the whole day. And he just can't wait for tomorrow. Just cannot wait for tomorrow. And finally, tomorrow came around. She cannot nag. So she would come and tell him, tomorrow I'm going to nag. Tomorrow I'm going to nag. Tomorrow I'm going to nag. Ya Sheikh. What benefit did we get? So now she's telling him that tomorrow is the day of nagging. She's still nagging. Okay, so some women, may Allah guide them, they have a really nice setup of problems that they have ready for the husband as soon as he arrives. So, for example, she fought with the neighbors, or she fought with his mother, or she fought with the haris, or she didn't clean the house, or the food is not ready. And so the husband feels that he is the most wretched of human beings. It's like, what is this? I just came from work and now home is even just as bad. So that's why he said, you find some men who prefer to stay in the coffee shop. They prefer the coffee shop over the household because there they don't have the same problems that they have at home, which is very bad actually. So this is the fault of the wife. The Prophet ﷺ said in regards to this, no woman harms her husband in this dunya, except that his wife from among Hur al-Ain in the akhirah will say to her, do not harm him, may Allah fight you. He is only there with you temporary. Soon he will be coming to us. Okay? So you have someone defending you already. Inshallah, if we are among the people of Jannah, Hur al-Ain are already fighting on your behalf, telling her, leave him alone, stop harming him. So the Shaykh said, would women want to be in this predicament? This is inappropriate. Thirdly, protecting his wealth and his honor. It is the right of the husband that a wife protects his wealth and his honor. So she knows how to be economic in maintaining the household. So she does not spend anything, nor does she give any of his money without his permission. Without his permission. The Prophet ﷺ said, no woman is allowed to spend anything of her husband's home except with his permission. Can't give anything out except with his permission. Someone said, oh Messenger of Allah, not even food, even if it's food. He said, this is the best of our wealth. Yani, even food, you're not allowed to give it out without the permission of the husband. Excuse me. Furthermore, she has to protect him in regards to not displaying her adornment outside. Whether when he's traveling or when he's not around or whatever the situation is. It is his right that his wife is well covered. Huh? This is one of his rights that she covers herself. Nowadays, it's the other way around. You see, the woman at home looks like she was run over by a truck. Okay? Look, busted. Her hair standing, her clothes are ripped. She smells like onions and garlics and all kinds of spices. But once she goes out, everything changes. So the husband's like, what is this? You know, this is for the people. What about me? Now what about me? So it's the other way around, man. It's the other way. This is supposed to be for home. And when you go out, you look shabby. When you go out, you put on this outer garment, the jilbab, and you go out, you handle your business, shopping, whatever, you come back home. You're not out there to fish. You're not there fishing for men with a bait. And the bait is your appearance. Because this is what it is. That's what it boils down to. When a woman starts beautifying herself, the least we can say, she wants attention from men. The least. Well, iyadhu billah, it could be even worse. She could be really hunting for men. She's tired of her husband. She's trying to find a companion or whatever it could be. But the least we can say is she wants attention. Hey, what kind of relationship is this where a man knows his wife is trying to look? She wants men to look at her outside. Where's his manhood? Allah al-Musta'an, we're living in strange times, wallahi. Very strange times. So it is right then that she doesn't beautify herself in front of strange men, and that she beautifies herself for him at home. And we will speak more about that. The Sheikh said, if a husband allows that, both him and his wife have betrayed Allah and His Messenger. The wife betrayed Allah and His Messenger by beautifying herself outside, and the man has betrayed Allah and His Messenger by allowing his wife to do this. And he is responsible, Yawm al-Qiyamah. Fourthly, arranging the affairs of the household. It's among the qualities of the woman, her ability to arrange and maintain the household. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَالْمَرْأَ رَعْيَةً, and the woman is like a shepherd in her household, and she will be questioned about those who are under her care. She's responsible in the household. So it is upon her to do so. This is her exercise, by the way. When the woman actually does the chores of the house and she's going around vacuuming, cleaning, wiping, mopping, brooming, whatever, she's actually maintaining her physical, you know, fitness. Otherwise, if she were not to do this, it would be bad for her health. So this is her means of exercising, not enrolling in a gym. And so then, this is a means of her to remain in shape. Furthermore, it gets rid of all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Fatima radiallahu anha, and learn, you have an example in Fatima, the daughter of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam complaining about cracked her hands had become. Okay, they were too dry until there were cracks in them because of that machine they use for making bread, for making dough. So she came requesting a maid or a male servant. The Prophet ﷺ did not tell her, why are you troubling yourself, my daughter? Why are you busy doing all this? This is you, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, you know, we should provide you and we will get... No. He didn't say that. He approved what she was doing, and he didn't even give her a maid or a servant. He gave her another solution. He said, shall I not guide you to that which is better than that? Better than having a servant? Before you go to sleep, you say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. This is better for you than having a servant. That's the solution. In the remembrance of Allah, you find strength and power. So remember Allah more often and continue to do what you're doing. If this is the case with the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, nowadays we are really spoiled. A maid is for everything. We can't even do anything anymore because, you know, she's from a noble lineage. You cannot possibly be with a lineage better than that of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salam. No way. And if his daughter did it, then our daughters can do it as well. From among the rights of the husband is that she should honor his parents and his relatives, specifically his parents. This is part of her being nice and kind towards her husband. She should not fall into the trap of, you know, it's either me or your... Alaykum salam. I'm recording this, akhi. خلاص, you made the announcement. No results. End of story. You heard him. If anyone is blocking him, go ahead. خلاص حبيبي. The announcement was made. Because people will hear this in the other countries, say, what was that? What happened in the masjid? So where was I? You see what happened here? Yeah. Did I turn over the page? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Zakallah khair. Yeah. So some women, they put this very difficult predicament. It's either me or your mother. And the Sheikh said, look, he can never replace his mother, but he can replace you. Right? A husband cannot say, okay, you don't like this mother, I'll get you another one. And he can get rid of his mother and get a new one. Do you like this one? No way he can get rid of his mother, but he can get rid of you. If the wife doesn't want to listen, yeah, you can be replaced with another one, just like Ibrahim told Ismail. Huh? وَغَيِّرْ عَتَبَتْ بَابَكْ. Change that doorstep which you have. He came home, said, oh, that was my father, and he said, you're divorced? Yalla, go home. Yalla, go home. There was no negotiation and no girgir kathir. And nowadays, you know, she wants either me or your mother. No, it's my mother. See you later. Here's the door. It's big, and you can go out, inshallah. After you educate her. This idea that with me or your mother kind of mentality does not exist in Islam. This is my mother. Now the mother also has to know that they have a life to live. Because some mothers want to decide everything. Every single decision they want to be involved. What, your son is 40 years old now. Let him make his own decisions. Slow down. You love him, he loves you, but you cannot tell him how to lead his life because he has a right and his wife has a right as well. So really, because of lack of Islamic education, we have these problems. The mother doesn't know her role, the son doesn't know his role, the wife doesn't know her role, nobody knows their role. So we have all these conflicts. If everybody were to follow Islam, we will have no issues. And when the problems arise, we will have solutions for them. So the wife, the mother also should take it easy. Whatever the case may be, the mother, the wife should not be an obstacle in his way, nor should she mistreat his parents. It doesn't mean that they can make her their maid, as some of them do. Say, she's your wife, she should work for us, she should serve us. No, she should not. No, this is his job, the son, not the wife. These are not her parents, and she's not expected to provide him service like she does for her own parents. Some husbands do not let their daughter, his wife, see his mother, her mother. He doesn't even let her see her parents, but he wants her to work for his parents around the clock. Ya akhi, this is zulm. She has to see her parents. She has to keep her kinship ties, and she doesn't work for you. You didn't buy a maid that you can tell her, I want you to do service for here or service for there. All these misunderstandings we have create all these conflicts in our households. From among the rights of the husband is the good treatment. She should treat him with love and compassion. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, a believer does not benefit from anything after being fearful of Allah, except when he benefits from a righteous wife, whom if he were to command, she obeys him. If he were to look at her, she pleases him. If he swears, she fulfills his oath. And if he is absent from her, she protects herself and his wealth. That's the best thing you can benefit from after being a good righteous Muslim. Having a righteous wife who has these particular qualities and traits. The Shaykh said many of these problems could be solved with merely a smile. A wife is able to solve 80% of the problems by simply being passive. A quality that only if you have. Sometimes you have to be passive. The man is weird. Okay, he picks on things that he shouldn't really pick on. And if the wife is going to pick on the things he picks on, they will never finish. Sometimes you just let it slide. He's wrong. He knows he's wrong. But he has too much manhood to admit. The wife should be intelligent. Khalas, no problem. It's my fault. End of story. But if we don't practice this kind of behavior, they will always be at each other's necks. He quoted another hadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said, shall I not tell you about the best, about your woman in Jannah? Al-Wadud, Al-Walud. Wadud is the one who's loving, very loving. Walud, the one who gives birth to many children. So the best women are Al-Wadud, Al-Walud actually, according to another narration as well. So she should be loving to her husband, she should treat him with love. Not that he's her enemy. Some of them, it's like she's his enemy. As soon as he comes home, she's frowning in his face and fighting and complaining. He doesn't need that. The husband needs some smiles. The Sheikh said specifically when he looks on outside in the street and TV, if he has a TV, he shouldn't have a TV. But in case he has a TV watching these stupid channels, he sees all these women looking nice and, you know, cute and smiling. Then he looks at his wife and she's upset. What do you think is going to happen? He's going to feel that he doesn't want to be with her. He wants to be with the one on TV. So what favor is the lady doing for herself? No favor. She's making her husband hate her. Because now he prefers strange women over her. If he saw from her nice treatment, he would take it easy himself. From among the rights of the husband is that she should not overburden him with things which he cannot afford. Some women are materialistic. I will only live in a villa. Okay? And it has to be in Hayy al-Naseem. And it has to be in I don't know what. Otherwise, don't even bother. Tayyib, give the man a break. He cannot afford this. Ask him according to what he affords. She doesn't care if he steals, if he robs, if he does anything, as long as he fulfills her materialistic needs. This is unacceptable from the women. They should be patient. Look at the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Aisha mentioned that 3 months would go by, they wouldn't even kindle any fire to cook anything in the house. 3 months.
This is Aisha bint al-Siddiq. Her father was a, you want to call him millionaire, you can call him a millionaire. Sahih? Her father had fulus. But his daughter was suffering with the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. You have to be with him during, you know, the difficult times and the easy times. And don't be too much. Don't be too much. From among the rights of the husband, and this will be the last one inshallah ta'ala, beautifying herself for her husband, which we spoke about briefly earlier. So he mentioned the women who, you know, have it mixed up. At home, they look lousy. Outside, they try to look nice and attractive. And so this actually defeats the purpose. And also the man, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in regards to this, he said that some of the companions, they saw him, you know, fixing himself up and looking all nice. They said, what are you doing? What is all this for? Ibn Abbas. He said, I love to beautify myself for my wife the same way I love for my wife to beautify herself for me. Yani, because some men, yani, it's okay if he stinks. No problem if he stinks. No problem if he looks bad. It's only his wife's responsibility to look okay. He can look however he wants to look. No. You also, she has the right to see something that pleases her and to smell something that pleases her. So this goes both ways. The man and the woman have to look representable, have to smell good, like the Prophet ﷺ always smelled good. There's no such thing as a Muslim smelling bad. It's so repelling, it's not even funny. And you don't want to walk by someone and say, oof. You have to run away from a person, a Muslim. If this person wanted to give da'wah, who's going to listen to him? If he were to grab a kaffir and say, I want to talk to you, say, I'm sorry, I have to go. Wait, give me 1 second. Nope, sorry, I got to go. Why? He doesn't know it. You stink so bad, the person has to run away. Alhamdulillah, now they have cologne, perfume, deodorant, soap, shampoo, a million options for you to smell good. It's unacceptable to stink after all that. Not at home and not outside the home. So he said, at the end, we need to really yani, integrate or internalize these principles in our lives. And teach our daughters, before your daughter leaves your household to move into her husband's, make sure she is trained. Teach her, talk to her, educate her, and, you know, give her some books. There's an excellent series by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jibali, if my memory serves me well. It's Jibali, I'm not sure about his first name. It's called, I believe, The Marriage Series. Excellent, maybe 5 or 6 volumes. Excellent set of books that prepare the husband and wife for the marital life. Everything is laid out according to the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. One of the best books you can get your hands on. It's in English, obviously. Get it. And have your daughter read it and learn it before she gets married. So she will know what is her right. So when her husband doesn't give her right, she can ask for it. And so that she can give her husband his right as well. So with this, inshallah ta'ala, we conclude the khutbah translation. If you wish to listen to this again or share it with your relatives elsewhere, go to www.onewayToParadise.net. Good, remember that one. OneWayToParadise.net. Then there's a tab called audio, or usually it'll be on the left. Recent audios. You will find khutbah translation, the bride or wife, something around. I don't know what the title is going to be, but you can download it as MP3 and share it with others accordingly if you think that there's benefit in that. Jazakumullah khair. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.